So, Scott, do you know what lo-fi girl is?
I know what lo-fi is, and I kind of know what a girl is.
You know what lo-fi girl is. It's the girl, she's sitting doing homework with her hand on her chin, and there's like a cat in the background. You've seen it on YouTube.
Oh, that's always on the front of YouTube and, Spotify playlists and whatnot. Yeah, she's always just...
Yeah. So, I had lo-fi, seen that... Lo-fi chill. Right. Yeah, and it's really chill music. It's like... It's totally like good music to like read to do homework. It's like exactly what she's doing in the picture, right? I didn't realize that was like an ongoing stream. Like that was one stream that had been going on for over 2 years.
The whole time?
Yeah. Yeah. An uninterrupted stream. It was just lo-fi girl hip hop for over 2 years. I kept getting suggested it. I saw it all the time. I saw like there's all sorts of like comic copies and mimics of it and stuff. Like I totally just thought that it was different videos, but there's been one stream that's been going for all this time until recently. It got DMCA'd. It got claimed by some like Malaysian record label that basically only exists to like copyright claim different music. And it was a completely bogus claim. It comes to it's big news to me for two reasons. One, because I didn't realize that it was one stream that had been going all this time. And two, because it was just completely like just interrupted, and they can't recover it. So like they have to start their stream over again. So
I had no idea it was ongoing. I really did think that it was just like new uploads or new feeds going on this whole time. I know it was a live video all this time. See, sometimes I'm not going to lie. Here's a little window into my life.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm chilling and I'm like drawing on the iPad or I'm reading a book or something.
Right.
I put one of those scenes up on the TV, the YouTube scene where it's like, you know, field or like a apartment building or something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That. And it's on loop for like, you know, an hour or whatever. And usually I do, I'll leave that running. I've noticed a couple of those were live streams. So I wonder if that's the same thing.
Like it could be.
They've been going on.
It could be. Really cool. I have totally watched Lo-Fi Girl, and I just never looked at how long it had been streaming. But that's pretty wild. And I can't believe that like really YouTube needs to have like a better process for this. Like anybody can basically make a claim against anybody. And then even if it's disputed... I mean, they ended up winning the dispute, but still their stream was taken down before the dispute was settled. And so, like, even though they've won that litigation, so to speak, because I think it is like a legal claim, even though they won, they still lost. They still lost that, you know, they got to start over.
The streak is done. Yeah.
Yeah.
The streak's over.
What a freaking shame, man.
Man, RIP, lo-fi girl. RIP.
Anyway, ECN's back.
Come up with this brand new idea that I think we want to run with here. I know I want to run with it. I don't know if Bo wants to run with it.
What's
I'm going to title this episode at the beginning of this episode.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I got to use it in the... Do I got to use it in the, like, in the
introduction? It's got to go out to the world.
So you tell me the title... And I'll give it in the intro, so you tell it to me now.
This episode is called You Should Have Killed Me When You Had the Chance.
Hello and welcome to ECN Radio. You Should Have Killed Me When You Had the Chance. This is episode one, or is it episode one? We don't know. We live in a podcast paradox of some sort. This is Comedy Talk Radio in the homeland of Anderson, South Carolina. We're recording this episode, and we're going to be posting it on YouTube at ECN Radio on YouTube, also on Undercast Collective. And you can send us an email, ecnradio@proton.me. Join our Discord. I have a link to it in the show notes. And I want to hear from other podcasters. Kind of what I want to do from here on is if you do a podcast, please send us an email. And we'll get you on the show so you can tell us about your podcast. If you do anything local, eccentric, independent, artistic, then please send me an e-cell. Please send me an email. Don't send me any e-cells. Send me an email instead.
Or any incels.
Yeah, we might not read those. Keep them. All right. ecnradio@proton.me. What was the, you had an alternative podcast title. What was it going to be?
Well, there's a ton of different what the E, the C, and the N means.
Oh,
the title for the show.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to give me a second title. Be,
and we could put this also in the title. It's "You Should Have Killed Me When You Had the Chance," or "How to Catch a Turtle."
Yeah. See, I don't know if we're going to get to the turtle thing. We have to now.
Well, then you got to stick around. Because one way or another, if you're listeners to us, to Bo and I's long torrid history of podcasting.
Well, the deal with the turtle is I want some help. So I think I got to ask him one more time, because I have a really good chance that like he was like big on turtles last week and this week he doesn't care. And so,
yeah, that's exactly how it works.
So. Right, exactly. Yeah. But
or you could just get a red bandana and tie it around your eyes and tell him you're the turtle, and he'll be happy with it.
Yeah, yeah. I had a Ninja Turtle costume when I was a kid. But anyway, he's like super. We told him he could get a pet if he got like 100% good on using the potty. And he's been like 2 months now where he's been good. No freak accidents. I mean, there might have been something, but like nothing, like, you know, it was an issue. I mean, now it's not an issue.
We don't get 100s. So, yeah. I mean, we don't do
it. I don't know that I get 2 months straight. So, like,
he doesn't need to know that, though. Okay. And just for our listeners, that this might be the first time you're tuning into our type of banter.
Yeah.
Bo actually has a child we're talking about. We're not talking about like one of our friends or anything.
Yeah. Right. Yes, oh, yeah, yeah. Too. Yeah, it's my roommate. I've been working on my 38-year-old roommate.
Let's talk about my roommate for a minute, because I know he'll be listening to this. Jared uses the potty very well, too. I think I should get him a turtle.
There you go. Yeah, so I told him he could pick out a pet, and at first he wanted a snake. And
that's cool.
I don't like snakes, but I think I could do a pet snake, because it's like they're like domesticated. You know, it's not the same thing. As long as it didn't get big, I don't want like a snake that's going to get like unruly.
Gonna get one he can ride when he gets older.
So we went and looked at him. Well, whenever he saw the snakes, he realized he didn't want a snake. He was creeped out by him.
I'm gonna think twice about this, Dad. Maybe when he's a teenager, he might be into that.
So instead, you know, he's looking at getting a turtle. And I looked, you can order them online. They're like $25 and they'll mail you a turtle. It comes UPS to your house. My glasses.
Man, I don't know. Putting that turtle in a box like that when you could just walk into the woods behind you after it rains and just go grab one.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that. Whenever I was younger, I used to catch turtles. They were much bigger than these. These are like little bitty baby turtles. They're like this big. But yeah, you're right. I used to be able to just find turtles out by the lake or in the woods.
But I don't know. When you are going online or you're going to a pet shop or you're going someplace local,
yeah,
you can also be sure to get a turtle that has a lifespan where you're not going to have to explain to him that thing's going to die. Might be a good, 'cause these turtles outlive us if you treat them correctly. So, you know, you'll have to explain to that turtle why we're not going to be around.
Right.
See if it can handle it.
Yeah. That's the thing. The thing about pet turtles is I was trying to do it in Soviet Russia joke, but in Soviet Russia, turtles outlive you. That's actually, the turtles only live like 20 years. It's tortoises that live like 100 years and stuff.
Well, get them a tortoise then. I think that feels like that would be a whole lot, easier.
What I wanted from the show was, what should we name the turtle? If he does end up getting a turtle, we got to come up with a name for it. And whatever it is, I'll say what it is on the show. But if anybody in the Discord or something wants to like suggest what the name should be, then I'd be glad to take suggestions. And I know the first four suggestions are going to be.
We've got to automatically veto any of the Ninja Turtles,
right,
as well as Venus de Milo, because somebody's going to say that too, because it's the Ninja Turtle that nobody remembers.
Yep.
Which is probably what most people are going to lead with. Venus de Milo.
I watched a video about her the other day. I actually didn't realize. You know, what's funny is I remembered a female Ninja Turtle, but then. Yeah. I didn't know what it was from. And then I watched this video about it and that's not what I remember. It was not, I don't know where my memory came from, but I remember a cartoon Venus that didn't look the same as, I think it was from a video game or something.
It was only live action. I thought she was only like on the Turtles on Tour thing. Was she on other media?
I in the video I watched, they said she was only like from like one thing, but I remember a cartoon one. I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe it's another one of these Mandela effects.
It probably is. You know, like that's the thing about the Mandela effect is like people are like, oh, I remember something correctly. And the entire world must be wrong because I'm infallible.
I feel that way about a lot of these. Like there's some people in my daily life where I'm like, no, I definitely. Oh no, Scott, we've known each other for 15 years. I'm like, I don't know who you are.
Oh well, yeah, that's not Mandela. Yeah.
That's just me being a jerk. That's all that is.
Yeah, I do that too. But
or vice versa. Like, you know, hey, I remember you used to know that wasn't me, man. Nah, so
I
don't know. But
I'm the worst. And you know this. I am the worst about like not knowing people. Like you all the time are like, you remember Frankie Schmiganocken? Like, you know, he's you know him from, you know, he used to hang out at such and such, and like I never know who you're talking about. I never know any of these people that you mentioned. And I'm sure.
I've had a very long history of working retail in a town of like 29,000 people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, eventually after working retail in the quote unquote cool shops of, you know, record stores and arcades and Hot Topic and a comic shop and a game store and stuff like that, you know, you get to meet all the kind of people you want to meet in a town of 29,000 people.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that I have met some of the people that you are like, oh, you know, but
it's every single one of them. I think you just did a control delete on half of them.
Yeah. I'm not good at that. I put in the show notes here at the start of the show, I wanted to give a shout out to, the Electric City Circuit on Facebook. This is another example. Scott, you know this guy because we ran into him
working at one of the stores that I worked at. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, and I probably shouldn't say where he works. I'll cut that out. I think that they're doing something cool on Facebook, and I think that they have good intentions behind what they're doing, trying to make Anderson a better place, a more like open to, you know, the artistic and the independence and locally owned. And I hope that we kind of do a similar thing with the podcast. And he mentioned, whenever you introduced me to him, he mentioned that if we started ECN up again to like basically let him know. So, I guess this is it.
I have one of my favorite bands, which is one of these records behind me, which is behind me. So I can't reach it and pull it out, but it's a band called Red City Radio. And they have a song talking about how all of his friends that used to go to shows with him when he was a kid have all like done everything they can to just get out of the town that they were in.
Yeah.
Because they just wanted to get out, and the town was holding them down, was destroying their lives or whatever. And he's like, I think I would rather just stay and make something out of this. And I think that's it's a very positive feeling to have. And yes, I know that a lot of times there are factors that contribute to, particularly in certain places that don't agree philosophically with a lot of things that I agree with. So it is an upstream, you know, uphill battle a lot, but there are plenty of like-minded, positive people that want to make something out of their surroundings and leave the place a little bit better than when they showed up, man. I think I'd say that's probably the best thing you could do in life. And, you know, having met as many people, which is one thing we could talk about in a little while here, that I have across the country through the Star Trek world and through other podcasts and stuff like that, that just the first foot that they lead with is just being positive. And nobody's telling you that life is perfect. Nobody's telling you that everything's roses. Nobody, especially me, is going to tell you that if you just keep your chin up, everything will be fine. No, but I mean, you'll feel a lot better if you go into it positively and you laugh in the face of all that stuff because it can be hilarious and fun. So maybe that's a great direction, I think, to point anything in, let alone a podcast.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have always wanted to leave Anderson, but circumstances have sort of kept me here.
It's like, what are you, Desmond from Lost?
Yeah, I'm Desmond. Getting pulled back. I keep having to hit the button. but like I understand that here's the thing that I've kind of understood is that like, if I move somewhere else, there's a lot of the same. Like, I feel like the reason why I feel like we could do this podcast again and do it from the perspective of, like trying to focus on things around us and things in our small town is because people are going to listen to this from other small towns around the country.
Absolutely.
I mean, sure, you could move somewhere that is like very different, like if you move to a bigger city or something like that, but there's still going to be a lot of stuff that's the same. Like there's something relatable everywhere. And mm-hmm. no matter where you go, you're really only going, you know, so far, and you can always come back home.
And I do love that idea too, because I do feel like there are going to be people that would listen all around the place that are mm-hmm. like, hey, you know, my quote unquote Anderson is just like that. Or my, you know, people in DC, they're going to be like, oh, I understand what it feels like when you go to a show, or you go to a record shop, or you go hang out at a comic shop and talk to your friends for so long. And, you know, you meet that kind of person. And I want to hear that stuff too. I want to hear the stuff about Gary, Indiana. Yeah. I want to hear the stuff about, you know, towns I've never been to. And, you know, all over the place. I want to hear, you know, the stuff that people are trying to do to give big ups to their friends and to their, you know, podcast bands, books, records, whatever kind of stuff you're doing.
I guess, I love that kind of thing. I guess, Scott, what I'm saying is I'm not exactly proud of the place I'm from, but I've been here my whole life. So I guess I'll call it home.
I'm trying to find a record too, but I don't have the record, but it's coming back out. It's coming back out. That's a good segue to what have we been doing in the last, like, what, 14, 15 months since we did a
CN
show? It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
All archived.
One thing that I put in the show notes and what I was segueing into is I know that if we were doing the podcast when we went and saw Stretch Armstrong, we would have talked about it. 100%. And it wasn't that long ago. It was like a month, yeah, and, a, maybe month and a half. Yeah.
2 months. Yeah. I haven't worn the t-shirt out yet that I bought there yet. So,
oh, I wear my t-shirt like,
I mean, I haven't destroyed it yet. Like worn it out.
Oh, it's worn still, it out. Oh, yeah. I gotcha.
I've worn it like once a week, every week since then. So
yeah. Yeah. mine's white. My new thing is white t-shirts. I've got a few white t-shirts now. I used to always be black all the time, but now,
oh man,
now I've been wearing white t-shirts. Shows the tattoos a little better. You know, it's a little, it's a little different, but also I always get stuff on it and you can bleach it. So it's a little bit easier. Hey. Yeah.
My latest thing, which of course right now I'm wearing a black t-shirt with the Enterprise in the front of it. But, my new thing lately has been like bright as hell. Like, why is he wearing that t-shirts?
Really?
And Hawaiian shirts, man. I've bought like 5 Hawaiian shirts in the last like 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
It is in Anderson, South Carolina right now. It is literally 700 degrees Fahrenheit everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And I will be damned if a Hawaiian shirt is not the most comfortable thing to wear in that weather. That's why they wear them in Hawaii all the time, because it's hot there. Did you realize this?
It's not a bad point.
To all our Hawaiian listeners, I love you. I love your style.
Aloha.
Because I've been rocking this. Aloha. I've also been listening to a lot of ska, which it goes hand in hand very well. So,
So I never thought we would get to see Stretch Armstrong again.
Man.
I knew that in 2019, they were talking about doing Furnace Fest 2020.
Yeah.
And then they didn't get to do it. I think they rescheduled it and did it later, but they didn't end up getting to do it when it was planned because of COVID.
The whole apocalypse hit.
But I think they ended up doing it anyway, though, later on, like in 2021, maybe. But I'm not even sure. But there was a lot of people, when we saw them in Columbia, there was a lot of people with Furnace Fest shirts on. And I think that was like part of their crew. So they probably did actually do it.
I think so.
But yeah.
We saw them in Columbia.
What was
the venue again?
It was called the Senate, which is another cool thing, though. We got to see Stretch Armstrong from the city they're from, you know?
Like, they're, from, like, probably miles away from where they grew up. And, you know, they talked about how they played shows in that venue before. And they named couple other venues that all the locals were like,
yeah.
And we were like, yeah, that's cool, guys.
I was really surprised.
I've seen them in Columbia before. I haven't seen them there in Columbia.
Yeah.
You know, I saw them in Columbia way back because they were, how long were they on this hiatus?
They were gone for a long time. Like 2008, something like that.
Been a minute since they were gone. Yeah.
They used to always play New Brooklyn Tavern in Columbia.
Yeah, I saw a lot of New Brooklyn Tavern shows and stuff like that there. But
it's still open. They seem to do pretty well through the pandemic. I was watching them. They did a lot of like drive up food and stuff like that. And they did like live stream music. So they did a lot of creative things to stick around. But I think that they were expecting so many people at this is why they chose the Senate. But it was a nice place, though. Like, I want to see other, I had never heard of it until this, but I want to see other shows there. And yeah, it was just, man, that band means a lot to me. And seeing them again after so long and getting to see them in Columbia and like in, and I don't know, that was just like, I would say a life changing moment, but it wasn't.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say that. I feel like it was a good, baseline to feel, you know, it was not to say that it was like knowing your anchor, but like, it was a good return to your roots feeling.
Yeah. Cause
it was like, you know, I came up on that kind of stuff. Come up going up to hardcore shows, to all ages stuff, to, you know, seeing eight bands in a row and just being there. Like, by the time you leave, you don't even remember where it looks like outside showing up. It's been so damn long you've been there. And yeah. it was great because, again, overwhelming sense of positivity in a hardcore show.
Yeah, very much so.
Almost everybody that was in there. I saw a couple people that went a little too crazy and we're going a little too hard, but I mean, that's also, that's what happens. You know, when you throw them down, you throw them down. But it was, and they were damn on it. Their timing was still there. They played just as hard as they'd ever played. And I mean, I got to hear, I don't think there was a song that I went, oh man, I wish they would have played that.
No, they played so many songs.
I heard everything so great. And then I got home that night and the next morning and I was all over the internet looking for vinyl. And holy crap, their vinyl is expensive. But they're getting ready to reissue a couple of them. They get another reissue.
Rituals of Life. I thought Rituals of Life. Yeah.
So if Rituals of Life gets reissued and sells out in 10 minutes, like I think it's going to, I think we're going to start getting the other stuff too, because now's the time for vinyl.
For real.
Now's the time. And I will 100% throw my money at them the second that goes live.
I think I might pick that up, and I want to get a. I don't have a record player. I have records. I don't have a record player. I used to use Matt's all the time.
We'll set you up.
Yeah, I need to get one. But the reason why I would say it wasn't life changing is because that band already was what set up my values in life. Like, they're like the most influential band like on life, and just as an adult. Like, seeing them again was just like, it was huge. And then like you said, the atmosphere, everything was so great. It was so cool. And there's a lot of bands like from that era that's like kind of doing like a little bit of a comeback now. That's really cool. I think Beloved is doing like some comeback shows.
Cool.
I would love to see them again. There's a lot of bands.
Slick Shoes again, they're touring. They came out with a new album. Slick Shoes is back out.
I never saw them when they were playing. I know Slick Shoes really well.
Saw them a very long time ago. And let me tell you, they always stuck out with that skate punk stuff because they are so musically tight. It's unbelievable. Their timing is insane. And when you listen to it from a musician standpoint, it makes me feel like I should never touch my bass again, because the way that these guys play it is and they're tighter now. Which, I mean, they were another band that was gone. They were gone from about 2005.
Yeah,
and they got back together and they put out that one single and it blew me away. And then they put a live album out and it was one of those live albums that you could tell they went into it and did everything that they could to have it mixed well, because it's one of the best mixed live albums I've ever heard. It's not, you know, they mic'd everything flawlessly. They mic'd the crowd flawlessly. To where and then it was mixed, and you could tell that post-production took forever on it, because when I listened to it, I was absolutely floored by how great it sounded. I mean, it sounded like they had a studio with a bunch of people in the studio watching them. It was
done so well. So. There's I put a link to a video from the night that we were there in Columbia in the show notes as well, if anybody wants to check that out. But yeah, big thanks to them for doing that again. And I hope to see them again. I'm going to watch for them to play again, you know, somewhere. I'm sure they'll play in Columbia again if they're continuing. I don't know if they're still planning on doing more material or doing more shows.
I need to get in the studio is what I need, because I need a new album.
Yeah.
I need to hear a lot from them. I want to hear their viewpoints at the age and the people that they are now. Because, I mean, I seem to always be down with what they were back then. So and just the stuff from what they were saying between songs and everything. And the kind of the messages that they were talking about, and the unity that they were promoting, and that promotions for the tickets, it was like a ton of the money from the tickets went to a local food bank.
It went to some, yeah, I'm not sure what it went to, but yeah, it went to something.
Oh, like no, that. there was the raffle that they did that went to the food bank.
Okay.
And there were so many people that threw money in this raffle.
Yeah.
And it's because it was for like a original pressing of Rituals of Life.
Oh, it was for they had like a briefcase of skateboard stuff.
Deck and stuff like that. Yeah. And the raffle was for that. And they said they could not believe how many people threw in money for that. And it was funny because they read like two or three tickets before they finally got one of somebody that was there.
I think the funny thing about the crowd was, oh, big shout out to Rat Poison, my buddy's band.
They were great.
They were great. They opened for them. Yeah. They did really good. But the crowd that was there was like all, you could tell that it was like all like solid state, like guys that are now adult in their 30s and 40s that was listening to Solid State whenever they were teenagers. And so it was interesting. I saw t-shirts there that like I would never see at any other shows, you know.
Man, I saw shirts there that I was like, holy crap, I completely forgot. And I needed to go back in the following days and listen to all these bands.
Me
and
too.
I had this little renaissance for the next like week and a half of all the stuff that I'd forgotten I hadn't listened to.
It was really cool. I can't wait to see what else is coming. But so, Scott.
So
why are we doing episodes again? Why is this podcast back?
Why is it back? Because you missed me a lot and you called me and told me about that.
That is true. That is true. That is true.
No, we actually, in reality, we were talking the other day and we were talking about different stuff and this and that. And then we were like, why don't we do another episode of ECN? And
yeah.
I said that. And then Bo was like, that's exactly what I was going to say to you.
Yeah.
And we were both like, well, damn, how about next week? And it was just so simple. It was like, why aren't we? And why aren't we doing, you know, and putting up a new feed and having this stuff? And it was just,
right. I think I need to kind of talk about, and I know we talked about it on the final episode of ECN, but like, I think in order for me to kind of talk about why we're doing it again, I need to talk about why I personally decided that I didn't feel like I wanted to do it anymore. And it was just because back we had been doing it for so long. And I felt like at that time I was doing it because I felt like I had to, like I needed, like I had to, like it was a second job or something. And I just, it didn't feel creative anymore. And like, I felt like every episode was the same and it was just like each episode would sneak up on me and I wasn't prepared or ready and it just wasn't fun anymore. And so I decided to hang it up. And
while we are really good at doing stuff on the fly, it got to be a point where it was like every episode, it was like noon and we were going to meet at 6 o'clock after work. And we're like, oh, shit, we've got
to. Yeah, I got no plan. I don't know what to talk about. We're just going to. Yeah. You want to play Akinator for an hour and a half? Like,
which is really funny. Maybe we do need to do a special episode for patrons. Check out the Patreon page.
We don't have a Patreon yet. We should make a Patreon, though.
And we'll put some old stuff on there too, so you guys can listen to.
That's a good idea.
Okay,
that's
but a good idea. What year did we start recording?
2009,
or was it earlier than that? I don't know. I think it was.
I always say 2009. I don't know. I was thinking about it today. The podcast is older.
In about 12, 13 years, give or take.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was thinking about it today. The podcast is older than my dog. I didn't have my dog yet when we did the first episodes of the podcast, and my dog. Okay. Is blind and deaf now. She's so old.
So pretty much like me, the dog is now matured into being
so
blind.
Yeah. So if we were, if the podcast was a dog, we'd be dead by now.
So we have to do it. We've got some crazy stories and maybe what we can do for the patrons. And I mean, it's not going to be a Patreon that's going to cost you like $300 a month or, you know, $6,000 a month or anything like that. We'll have some fun stuff that we just want people to hear. And maybe we can even recant some old stories of some of the crazy crap that we've done. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm not just talk about the trip to New Jersey over and over again, but dear God, it's great. But, you know, stuff like that and going to other shows. And,
so then why do I feel like this won't happen again? Like, why do I feel like if we start doing episodes again, I'm not just going to get tired of it?
we get to it. You know, whatever, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think the big thing is I don't want to make it so that we feel pressured to do an episode every week or every 2 weeks or anything like that. We should just do episodes as we feel like we're creatively engaged to do it, you know? Yeah. I mean, there is an element of like, if you don't do a weekly show, then like you just kind of like fall into oblivion. Like you'll never get noticed on YouTube, and iTunes is not quite as bad, but like that could happen. But I don't really care. I don't care. Like, that's why I kind of want to make it locally focused too, because you know, I just don't care if there's like a big following or anything like that. I enjoy doing this. I enjoy talking about things that happened. I enjoy like coming up with kind of funny bits about things that happened throughout the week and talking about those things. It was like excruciating to go see Stretch Armstrong and then not have a podcast to talk about it afterwards.
So like writing it all down. He's like, this phone.
Yeah.
Stuff in Keep. I gotta write this in Keep.
Yeah. So that's what this is. This is basically just becoming me and Scott's audio journal.
That's going to be fun. But I think pulling in people and
yeah,
having people come in and talk. And, you know, if you're listening right now and you're like, oh, man, that might be great. I've got some funny stuff, or I've got some funny stuff on Scott, or I've got some funny jokes, stories to tell about Bo, or cool stuff that's going on in town, or cool stuff that's going on in my town, if you are from elsewhere. I think our friendships and stuff like that will be, and we'll talk about it beforehand, so you know.
I was originally thinking like we should have people come on like from Anderson and talk about things that's going on in Anderson, but I think that's a really creative idea if we have people from other small towns tell us about their local fair or something.
I think that the funny thing that's going to be about this is that it's going to show people, a lot of people, you know, come up and, you know, good God, I learned this working at Hot Topic so much that you hit a part in your life where you're like, everything's holding me down around me. Everything is against me. Mm-hmm. And even if you still hate the town that you grew up in or that the town that you've been living in for forever, at least you're going to know that there are other wackos out there like us. And, you know, we're all kind of, we're living the same grind, man. And
yeah,
I want to find out about somebody that, you know, does an open mic night in a club somewhere out, you know, in Georgia or something like that. And, you know, maybe we can do hangouts with close places, or when we go to cons and stuff like that, because dear God, one of these days I'm hitting up Dragon Con. I'm hitting up,
Galaxy Con
up in Raleigh, because I want to hang out with Muhammad and the Sci-Fi Sisters is so damn bad. I want to go up there and hang out with them and stuff like that. And we can all, you know, meet out at places like that. Or if you're going to see a show and you're going to be there too, and we could hang out and maybe take some fun audio on our phones and whatnot and put that into episodes.
Yeah.
You know, and we want,
yeah. Anything you're doing that seems interesting or creative. Let's talk about it. Let's make the show interesting. I don't want every episode to be the same. We're going to throw some diversity in there.
I want every episode to be about Bo.
Well, they all are basically. I mean, that's the essential. That's the thread that goes through the whole thing.
All together.
Yeah.
Like Creep Show. Bo is the Creep Show.
So I think I have in the show notes what is the focus of the show. I think that is sort of the new focus of the show is just, it just needs to be fun and creative and low pressure. That's basically it. And as we were doing other creative projects, and I still am, I'm doing a Fireside Palaver is like a literary podcast I'm doing with David. Cool. Like there's,
I'm coming on that eventually.
Oh yeah. We just finished the drawing of the three. I got to edit that episode and post it. And boy, let me tell you, that book is wild.
Crazy ride, huh?
Yeah, it is a crazy, it is a crazy ride. That's for sure. I got to edit that. Well, also, post it.
We'll link that show in the show notes because when you come on and we talk to you about your podcasts or your, you know, band, you know, we could put your podcast link. We could put your Bandcamp link, you know, stuff like that in the show notes. So we'll promote each other and talk about stuff too.
But as we did other things, I was always trying to do what we used to do on ECN, but it was even more restrictive because all of the new ideas we had were like very laser focused on like being about a specific thing, you know? Yeah. And so while it may not be the best thing for click-through rate or for finding listeners or anything like that, the most fun thing for me is that we just have a very casual, very creative, non-restrictive show. So that's kind of why we're doing it again. And
I like it.
To bring that back. So you've been working with,
I've been bouncing around the internet, bro.
Yeah.
I'm everywhere, man.
You're like the most famous thing in Anderson right now.
Oh, am I?
So tell me what you've been doing.
Me and the next like three episodes of Cops, right? Because Cops have been in town.
Yeah, what's the deal with Cops? Let's talk about that real quick. What is the deal with Cops being in town?
Cops has been riding along with the Anderson's Finest for the last three or 4 weeks.
It's fake though, right? Like it's not.
Nothing's fake in this town, dude. Nothing's fake here.
I thought that it was all like staged, like none of it was real crimes and real criminals.
Oh, they've got plenty of it around here. I mean,
you
don't go three blocks without finding a kiddie pool to flip over with a meth addict running out of it.
There are real crimes, but I thought that the ones that was going to be on this cop show was all staged.
I don't know, man. I don't think they'll have a problem with you know getting any material around these parts. As a matter of fact, I feel like the crime rate has somehow supernaturally risen since cops have been here.
Oh yeah,
because man, there have been you know car thefts, there have been shootings, there have been so many things going down in a town where our crime rate's not that high normally. So I don't know if people are wilding out because.
So I work in Greenville. I work in Greenville, and when I tell people I'm from Anderson, they're always like, oh, man, they'd be killing each other down there. Like, people are always like, the crime rate is high in Anderson.
That's nonsense, because there ain't nobody that is that close to Spartanburg that could say a word about Anderson.
Yeah, crime Spartanburg's rate. Worse. Yeah. But I think
Spartanburg is the New Jersey of the upstate.
But I think we're second, though. I think we're second to Spartanburg. I
don't know. We're going to have to look these crime rates up. Maybe we'll put that in the next episode. We'll put up like the actual.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
How bad we're doing, because I don't think we're doing that bad, but I think we're doing worse since there's been, you know, HD cameras riding around in the back of the cop cars. So
I'm putting in the notes too, to remind me for next week. I want to do a all cops. I like that. Yeah. I want to research cops and the crime rates in the upstate, because I believe that I've heard that cops actually, like the TV show Cops actually did increase crime rates in the places.
I don't doubt it, man, because people have been losing it. It's been like a damn full moon for the month that they've been here.
And there's like a documentary. There's like a documentary about Cops, too, that I'll have to rewatch. But I remember watching a documentary, and the guy that created it was like, I want to say the guy created it decided that it was like detrimental to society, and he wished he had never created it. He only did it for money.
I love it because that is a wonderful rule of acquisition right there. Or war is good. The 34th rule of acquisition. I had to get some Star Trek in here. As you can see, Quark right back here is happy that I will quote the 34th rule of acquisition, that war is good for business.
So,
no, no, 35, sorry, 34 is peace is good for business.
So tell me about the 7th rule.
The 7th rule of acquisition is also the name of a podcast that I've been working with. Having a lot of fun with them.
I got recommended it today. I was looking for a podcast.
Oh, on the internet to. Or because of me? Because I
No. I started using the Google Podcast app again. I usually use Podcast Addict, and I was subscribed to some old podcasts from when I used to use it a long time ago. And based on those subscriptions, it suggested the 7th rule to me.
You should definitely check it out, man. I heard
that. I've listened to it before. I just hadn't used this podcast app in a long time.
But I've been remastering their older episodes. Some of the stuff back with Aaron Eisenberg, who played Nog in DS9 before he passed away. He was an amazing human being. If you can look up interviews about Aaron, if you could look up just anything, if watch What We Left Behind, the documentary that I have a poster for that's right out of frame that Bo and I went to see a couple years back, just all the stuff that
it's Aaron Spartanburg, said right?
Did we no, see that it was in Piedmont, I believe. Was it Piedmont?
No, it was in Spartanburg. It was at the IMAX.
Yeah. We made it back without getting shot at. So take that, crime rates. But yeah, I've been doing work with them, remastering that, and Sirach Lofton, who played Jake, that was on the show. So it was Jake and Nog back together again. I've been remastering that and re-uploading it. And right now, if I am not mistaken, which I shouldn't be, we're about to...
Never.
The next episode of season three's reviews. I believe we're in the fourth or fifth episode of season three, is going to be hitting the feeds tomorrow. It's been really fun. I've been a fan of the show since it started, which is really cool because I think I listened to like the second or third episode when it was first on their feeds, and then went back and listened to, you know, the first and the second or whatever, wherever it was. The first one I remember listening to was the one where J.G. Hertzler was on it, who played Martok, which is really cool because I actually got a chance to meet him last week.
That's cool.
Doing the show, which was really cool. J.G. Hertzler is one in a billion trillion. There's only one of him ever to be born that will ever be born again as a human being, because J.G. Hertzler is somehow a bigger being than Martok is, if you can believe it.
Are you sure there's only one?
Martok is my favorite Klingon.
There could be a changeling. There could be two.
Could be there was a changeling. Oh, but it got roasted, didn't it? But I've been remastering and relaunching that, and then the second feed too, which is Seventh Rule 2. It's pretty easy. You can look it up on every major and every minor podcast feed catcher that you listen to. Spotify, Podcast Addict, like I talked about, Bose mentioned, that's my favorite one. iTunes, everywhere. There's two feeds. There's the original one that does the DS9 runs, and then Seventh Rule 2, which we just launched about 3 weeks ago, is the reviews of the other Star Trek shows like Discovery. There's one up for Picard season one. The second season was about Lower Decks season one, and now season three is about Discovery. Season three's reviews. You get to hear what Sirach thinks about all the new Trek and all the stuff that man catches, because good God, he is a detail catcher, that man. And he's a really great guy too. Getting to know him has been phenomenal. Like somebody I watched on TV growing up.
Yeah.
That same age as me, that I feel like I grew up with him on television, to be able to talk to the guy weekly. And, you know, he's just as thoughtful and as like damn cool, which is scary. Because, I mean, he's as cool as Jake Sisko was, maybe even cooler. And, you know, make references to old 90s horror movies and, you know, and ridiculous bands from back then. And also, a shout out to Ryan T. Husk, that is the other host of the show, is one of the greatest, coolest guys out there on the internet. I mean, he's really, really good at making really bad jokes. And he's also a pretty big pillar of the community for the Trek world. He puts on a lot of great stuff, a lot of podcasting. Virtual Trek Con might have saved some lives during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Great show. Yeah, check all that out. But I've been doing a lot of work with them, and recently have gotten to be, because of the people I've met from the Seventh Rule community and the family, you could call the Chat Pack fam, and the people that hang out and all the live premieres and stuff like that, I have met Rex Wood, who's an associate producer on the Seventh Rule, and he has also started up a foundation and a podcast called Trekkers Against Bullying with Kat R. King and a couple other people I haven't become very well acquainted with yet. They just put their first episode up, which you can catch on YouTube, which they had Nana Visitor as their special guest, who played Major Kira in Deep Space Nine. Yeah. To talk about the situations that we sometimes have in the fandom and the nerd world in general, where bullying does occur, as well as like a bullying that comes through gatekeeping.
Yeah.
Which I personally can understand that you love something so much that you feel like you need to protect it. And you use that as a reason in your mind that makes sense to yell at people that you think are hurting it. If somebody doesn't like a new Star Trek show and you think that it's not quote unquote real Trek, you're going to attack people that like it, and that's bullying, and that's not being cool. I personally enjoy Deep Space Nine more than anything that came after it, but I find incredibly cool things about these new shows, which I'm sure on ECN, I'm going to go bananas talking about how brilliant Strange New Worlds is, because that show is one of the best shows I've seen since DS9. Unbelievably good. Nonstop talk about it. But what Rex and Kat are looking to do is to educate people on the fact that bullying is more than just getting punched in the mouth in the back of the bus. It's more than getting a wedgie and a swirly for wearing a Star Trek t-shirt. I couldn't have worn this shirt when I was in high school, when I was in middle school. I got the crap kicked out of me daily in middle school for being a nerd. Hmm. You know, I did have that summer where I grew to 6'2", you know, in like 3 months when I was out of school when I came back.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen as much, but I was still made fun of. And I still get, you know, to this day, sometimes people will get on to me for, oh, you talk about that show way too much. Or, oh, my God, if you were cool, you'd like blah, blah. And
I'm still waiting to hit that summer myself.
It'll happen. Just hold on, man. All you gotta do is just.
I think those people exist in every facet of.
Because it's a human problem. It's not right. a genre.
Yeah.
It's not a sports problem. It's not a Star Trek. It's not a Star Wars problem. It's a human problem, and it's a person that had particular things done or not done to them in their lives to push them to that point. And actually, Rex and Gav are trying to draw attention to that. And
importantly,
they're trying to give people like these kids a spot where they can hang out with other folks.
Yeah.
That they have no worry about that happening. Because I'll protect some kid that's getting made fun of for wanting to wear a cosplay of, you know, Robin or something like that in public. And if I hear anybody snickering, I'm imposing enough, I think, to put an end to that.
That's a really good idea. And I love the idea they're building a community around that. But
yes,
I also feel like just the sort of the nerd space in general, comics and like essentially everything you'd see at Dragon Con, there is like a huge, like the perception, I would say the public perception that whole like bullying aspect or gatekeeping aspect is like larger in that community. I think that is a misconception, because I find like especially like the community around Dragon Con like to be like super welcoming. Like the people that I have met through going to conventions and through, you know, doing podcasts with sci-fi, you know, fans and stuff.
Absolutely.
Those people have always been like, it's very rare that I meet like a bigoted Doctor Who fan. You know what I mean? Very welcoming community. I think there's a huge misconception that the outside world kind of has on this community. Yeah.
There are issues online where people have that anonymity and they have that screen between them and other people where they feel like they could be more bold in comments and bold in, you know, Zoom calls or whatever, where they can talk like that. And I do think that by focusing on the positive and by, like you're talking about, these welcoming crowds, and Rex straight up, like Rex was so early on in the seventh rule, in the live chats, in the free for alls at the end of the shows, that I remember way back thinking, oh, that Rex guy, I love his opinion on the Monster Maroon uniforms. You know, I remember, and then when I'm re-editing these old episodes and I'm like, hell yeah, right on, Rex. Hmm. And you know, the fact that he put that kind of vibe out to people, and that he loves the original series, he loves Wrath of Khan, but he wants people to have fun watching Discovery. He wants to let those kids watch Prodigy and have the same feeling that he did watching TOS reruns. Back in the day when he was a kid and stuff like that. And that's what's so important, to give these kids a space where they can do that and where they don't have to think about somebody, you know, making fun of them because they think Michael Burnham is the best captain in the world for them. That's great.
I can give an example of where I personally had a misconception about gatekeeping. So I got into RPGs in like 2018, 2019. It was just before the pandemic. And
good time for it. Yeah.
Prior to that, I really thought I was nervous about it because I felt like, oh, if I don't know like every rule, or I've never done this before, or I'm not real comfortable with like the acting side of it, like I'm going to be shunned from the community. Right. But
you're not a good enough elf.
Right. Yeah. But
get out of here.
Book I've read, every YouTube video I've watched, every table I've sat at, every single thing, it's been so much more about ad-libbing and just the rules are a suggestion. And so like that was the misconception I had. The
most important thing in the world is it's called a role-playing game. It's not called a stat stacking game.
Yeah.
If you want to do some, have fun.
I'm just bringing that up to say, like, from the outside looking in, I had a completely different perception of it. And I was completely wrong. And I think that there's probably people that have never stepped into a comic book store before that have this idea that, well, if they walk in and they say, man, you know, I don't really know what I should get, that the guy that kind of counters would be like, you don't belong here. You're not a real comic fan if you haven't had 30 years of reading experience, you know? And I just think those people exist, but it's not as common as you may think it is. It's
not. And I think having a good focus like that, people like Rex have, and people in the central community, and people that we're friends with around town that we've stayed friends with all this time, having that focus on the good stuff and and, you know, quelling the bad stuff as quickly as possible is only going to make it to where, you know, hopefully when your kid is grown, he won't have to teach his kid about that stuff. You know, it'll be historical at that point. I think that would be really cool, you know, to look to a future where, because that's the most important thing. Like if you, I hear a lot of folks walking around right now squawking this bit out about life was so much harder when I was a kid. Good.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Good. It was harder. I think it's great.
I don't think it's true, by the way, but
if it was true,
then the good. Yeah, it should
be. Like what I was just saying about having the absolute crap kicked out of me in middle school.
Yeah.
What happened to my nieces who
she'll just get made fun of on TikTok. Like it's different now.
Yeah,
but I think it does happen still.
It does happen, but I think that our goal should be that we can say that the kids have it better than we do.
Oh, yeah.
Have it better than we have it. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a good place to move to. So let's aim for that. Hell yeah.
I think it's a different, this is a whole nother tangent, but I think it's a different thing today because when I was a kid, if the kids at school didn't like me, well, it didn't matter when I got home. Whereas, like, by the time my son goes to school, well, even when he's at home, he's still connected to the other kids at school. You know, like I think
that's an always thing.
It's different. Yeah. Like it's different. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It should be. We should always strive to make it better for sure. I really want to talk about Stray. I don't know how much time
Stray's been pretty big. We got about another five.
I mean, I'm good. We started early, so I'm good. But
I still haven't eaten dinner yet, so I'm dying.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
But.
Is that how we judge the podcast length?
It's how hungry you are.
How hungry are you right now? I had one of those frozen strombolis for lunch, so I'm kind of...
It's usually how much I have to pee.
And I've only drank this today, much out of my... Yeah. Okay, well, this is 20 ounces, and I think I've only gotten about 8 out
this
of
it. This is 33 ounces. I started drinking this 33-ounce jug of water every night just to try to get more water. So
flush that system, bro.
So everybody's talking about Stray. It really blew up. I had been waiting on this game to come out.
That's cool though. Yeah.
I was excited about it because I saw a preview and my son was pretty young when I saw the first preview and I was trying to show him video games. What's that?
It was before he could talk. And it was like,
I don't know. He was probably talking very little. It was
hilarious.
It was like one of the first previews that they released on YouTube. And so I was waiting for it to release because whenever we watched it together, he thought it was cool. Now time passed and he forgot all about it. And whenever it finally released, I bought it. I really just thought it's a game where you play as this cute cat and you get to do cute things and go through this obstacle course of a city. And it is that for sure.
Yep.
But it really takes this Portal formula on where it's like,
oh man, you just said the word you needed to say to me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So my like one sentence review of this game is it's like Portal, but with cats.
Oh my God.
I mean, there's no Portal puzzle conundrum kind of things, but it takes that same formula where you're trying to solve the puzzle of how to get to this place by jumping across different things and finding things that you can walk on, things you can knock over. Like it takes, like that's sort of the puzzle aspect of it. But you find things written on the wall that seem a little off. You find a computer that's flashing something odd on the screen. And then when you investigate it, it opens the door to another room. And then you meet these robots that like, they seem to have this like ancient history here in this, this abandoned city. And they're talking about their ancestors, and you can tell by the way they talk about them that they're the humans that built them. And like there's just this like deep lore that's written on the surface of the game. But you're playing as a cat that really only is trying to get back to its herd of kittens. So like at the beginning of the game, you get separated and you're just trying to get back to them. But in order to do that, you have to dive into this like deep storyline.
Yeah,
of these ancient robots.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild. It's like Stray is the new Half-Life. That's my take on it. Stray is the new Half-Life. Half-Life 3 is really Stray.
Well, I'm coming clean on a lot of this stuff because while I have logged nearly 1600 hours on Fallout 4, and I will always love some Fallout 4, I love a walking simulator, man. I love those ones where you just wander and a story follows. Yeah. What is it?
Did you play the literal walking simulator with Norman Reedus?
No, I haven't played that one. I
heard Dead Rising.
One that I played.
It's actually really good. I played it. It's really good.
I played one called Firewatch that everybody needs to check out because Firewatch is. It's you're out in I'm trying to remember what it was. It's out in like Wisconsin or something like. It's out in the middle of the mountains.
Yeah.
And you're in a fire tower and just you get out in the morning and you go and it's in the '80s.
I know Firewatch. Don't have
internet and stuff to talk about. Yeah, and I got eaten up by that game like 1 week and I haven't had a replay. I downloaded the soundtrack because the music is great in it. And it was just it completely pulled you into that world and sat into it. Steam gives it a 9 out of 10. I loved it. It's a 2018 game.
Yeah,
so it got a ton of awards.
I'm looking up to see who made it. I thought for a second it might have been the same company, but it's not. It's a different company. But yeah, this is a similar thing to what I've never played Firewatch, but I have seen this game.
You should definitely check it out. It's on Steam. It's great. I played it on. I think I played it on Switch. I feel like it was on like one of Switch sales. It's one.
Oh, it does say under more like this section they do have Stray.
Stray's on there. That's pretty awesome. And then like Vanishing Ethan, Ethan Carter and stuff like that. But yeah, I love a walking simulator. I mean, as much as I walk in real life, I guess it makes sense that I like to play games.
I mean, it's there's like some puzzlefication to it where like in order to get on this building, you need to make this guy accidentally drop a bucket of paint so that this other guy comes out and has to clean it up so you can get into the room. And then like there are like sort of puzzle element of it, or you've got to figure out like what the code is to open this door. It's almost like Resident Evil, but like you have to figure out like what the code is to get on this door. But like there's the only way you can die in the game is if you there's like these aliens that are overtaking certain parts of the city and they'll jump on the cat and overwhelm the cat. And so if you get stuck in an area like that long enough for them to overwhelm you, then your character, they don't show the cat dying. I don't think they can get away with that, but like the cat, you'll game over and have to start again. But yeah, it's a really good game. Like I got it just to entertain my kid, and like now me and Becca and my son,
you're still playing.
we're all playing this game. I've got it on the Steam Deck, and my son and Becca will play on the TV hooked up to the Steam Deck with a controller. They'll play it. We played it for hours the other day. Becca and I had Friday night. We were like, what are we going to do? We could go out and do something. We could take Elliot to the park. We could do this and that. No, we just watched Stray. We just watched each other play Stray for like 6 hours. So like we're all attached to this. We're all attached to this cat and these robots.
Oh wow, this game is not expensive either. I like that.
It's only $30. There's another game by that same company that you would really like. It's called. I don't want to open my Steam because it'll probably.
And I can actually get the I can get the $40 bundle that has the soundtrack with it, which it's a walking simulator. I am nearly guaranteed that this
it's got good music. Yeah, it does.
Does it have Chill Pop Girl playing music on
it? Yeah, it might.
A good feel to that
lo-fi kind of girl.
Lo-fi chill pop, man.
Another game that I think you would like by this same company, and it's really cheap. It was cheap. I must have saw it on sale. It's $20, but it was like $4.99 when I bought it.
Yeah.
It's called What Remains of Edith Finch.
I believe I have that, and I haven't installed it, but I believe I do have it.
That's what I played when I was in New York, because it doesn't require internet access. But it was really good. It is by the same company, and it's the same sort of thing where it's like mostly story. Like there is an element of like solving puzzles and stuff, but it's mostly story. Stray is just... I mean, I played several of the games that are put out by this publishing company, and Stray is by far the best one. Like it's so
their magnum opus so far.
Yeah, people don't realize how good it is.
I mean, I've been hearing a lot of buzz about it, so I don't know.
Yeah, man. Maybe it's not underrated. It's not overrated. Maybe it actually is getting its correct rating. I don't know, because people do love it right now, but I just think a lot of people just think that it's just the cutesy catness of it, but it's like. Is way deeper than you realize till you play it.
And whatever it takes to latch people in on a game. And I love cats. So
yeah, you do. Yeah. I'm not a cat person, but a Boston
cat person. And sometimes this guy that lives here Well, Jared, one of his cats, I believe, is a human dressed up like a cat.
But the it has to be a cat though, because a dog would never. They would have gotten ate by the aliens already.
Yeah, they would have ran up to the alien. Oh, hello! I love you. I love you. And they would have been dead. 100%. That alien would have just been wiped the. And that's probably why you haven't seen any dogs. Do you see any dogs in the game?
Not yet. At all? Not yet.
Yeah, it's probably because they all got wiped out by the aliens, because they ran up and immediately confessed their absolute undying unconditional love for the aliens.
They whenever the humans died out, they probably all died. Like out of
sadness, right?
Remorse,
a broken heart, like Padme.
Yep.
Where's Padme? Out of a broken heart.
All right. So if you could pick one more topic off the show notes, what would it be?
You getting a turtle online?
We already talked about the turtle.
I led with it. I don't know.
We talked about it. I need people to help me pick out a name for my turtle.
Let's only talk about one more topic. Let's talk about the wild stuff that happened in the Georgia Guidestones, huh?
Oh, I forgot. I forgot that we said we were going to talk about that. Oh, man.
If you guys know, if you're not from the area, if you're not from the, the tri-state area of North, South Carolina and Georgia, and maybe even Florida and stuff, there were these Guidestones, they were called. They were referred to lovingly as the Stonehenge of the South. And
yeah,
there were basically 10 stone pillars or so.
One, two, three, four, with one on top, five. And then there's like a time capsule or something over to the right.
Yeah, six. That was under, which I wonder if they're going to, pull.
Yeah, I don't know what the story. We need to find out about the, I'll tell you what, man. Let's plan an episode on the Georgia Guidestones. I mean, we could talk about it a little bit now, but like,
the gist of it is that these things on here it was made in the 80s, I believe, and left by some like eccentric millionaire that gave like this
R.C. Christian was his pseudonym. Yeah.
Like a Judeo messianic Christian kind of new age.
But it had population control as part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Population control thing is scary.
Yeah. That's what everybody was like upset about, was the population control.
Get a little creepy when you start talking about eugenics and population control.
Yeah.
It's just a little scary.
So the thing about the Georgia Guidestones, I'll give a little bit of a backstory. And then, yeah, like I said, let's do a whole episode on it. This was Kyla and I wanted to do a documentary like series on the Georgia Guidestones, and we just never did it. But like, we talked about it. I actually did some research on it. We were planning to drive out there and get some like recordings and stuff. And we just never got around to doing it. And then someone blew them up. Someone recently blew them up.
Put a big old kaboom on that story. Yeah, that's how that was going.
My introduction to the Georgia Guidestones is when I used to live with Dale. One day he came home, and I don't remember what got us talking about the Georgia Guidestones, but one day he was just like, oh, yeah, man, there's these. Dale was a really funny character, but.
Man,
there's these stones. They're out there in Georgia. They're like Stonehenge, but in Georgia. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, you ain't ever been to the Georgia Guidestones. And we literally got in his car. Yeah. We literally got in his car that night and drove to the Georgia Guidestones. It was like 11 PM. And it's just in this field. You could just drive up to it and blow it up, apparently.
C4 and just end the whole thing.
So I did a bunch of research. I watched like a documentary about it, and I did some research on like, all the different theories about it and stuff. And I said we'd do a whole episode on that. That would be a lot of fun. I'll crack back open those notes, and maybe I should message Kyla to see if she finally wants to do the Georgia Guidestones episode.
We love some Kyla. She needs to show back up, man. Kyla definitely needs to be a part of this future. That's for sure.
But she texted me. She texted me whenever the Guidestones blew up. She was like, "We hadn't spoken. We hadn't spoken in a few months." And she messaged me, and she was like, "Did you hear the Guidestones blew up?" And I was like, "Yeah, what the hell?" When I first heard about it, what flashed through my mind was, "What if that's what the time capsule was?"
It was a bomb. Yes. It was just ticking. It's been ticking since 1983.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, now it's 2022. It's time to go.
They had like a 25-year bomb, a 25-year timer on this thing.
24.3 year. Yeah. Boom.
It all just right.
Went up in
So I wrote down two show ideas. We're going to talk about Cops next week. And
and then the Georgia Guidestones.
And then we'll special. Do Georgia Guidestones.
Lordy be. All right, guys. Well, it's been fun talking to yous again. Thanks for not killing me when you had the chance, I guess.
You should have killed me when you had the chance.
You should have done it. Now we're back.
That should be our new, we could make a new ending slogan. A new ending slogan. Thank you for listening. You should have killed me when you had the chance. Is that a good ending?
That's perfect.